he stood up, and as a young person of about 17 at that time, being there in the audience, it just came into my mind that here is a person, he has come from overseas, and he seems to be asking for some kind of help. Mm-hmm. He spoke in Urdu, so I didn't even understand what he was really saying. Mm-hmm. But just that feeling that here's somebody that is seeking some kind of help mm-hmm. in some kind of work, so I should not hesitate. I should at least give him some kind of support. So I raised my hand, I got up, and everybody was very surprised at this 17-year-old youngster, what is he going to do? In any case, they started asking me, what help are you going to give him? I said, I don't know. I'm going to ask him now what he wants. Mm-hmm. After that, we went, it's a long story, but from here, then he said, MashaAllah, gave du'as, and we went to Amzinto, which was his hometown. Mm-hmm. In Amzinto was my late grandfather, the father of Chota Mota, who is well known, mm-hmm. and running Dawatul Haq there. So his father was my maternal grandfather. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and this Haji Bhai Padia then said that tonight I will be sleeping in the masjid here. He gave us a short talk and he said he'll be sleeping in the masjid. So this was again very surprising. In those days, the only thing we heard of was a person slept in the masjid in the month of Ramadan, and that too you will find one elderly person, or maximum might be two, mm-hmm. Here in KwaZulu-Natal. That may be sitting in the masjid. It was like a real effort to make somebody sit in the masjid, even for the Ramadan i'tikaf. Mm-hmm. So now when he said out of Ramadan that he's sitting in the masjid, now this was again some kind of a news and some kind of a shock. But again, that same feeling that here's a person that will be sleeping in the masjid, and I don't think it's nice to leave him alone. Just to give him company, I told him, I said, all right, I will also come and spend the night with you in the masjid. So I told my grandfather that I want to spend the night with him in the masjid. That night, it happened to be very, very windy, and Haji Bhai Padia, after the Isha Salat, and about 10, 11 o'clock at night, he switched off all the lights, so it went totally dark, and the wind was blowing, so there was some movement here, some shake-up of the windows, and some rattle here. And believe me, I thought it was different jinnat entering the masjid from different places. And I was really, really frightened and scared. At about 2:30, and this is the main point, that at about 2:30 or so, Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Alayhi got up. I haven't seen anybody cry like that in dua for about 2 or 2.5 hours. He made his tahajjud salat. That time I didn't even know much what was tahajjud salat, but in any case, he made some salat. I felt very comfortable that at least he's up now, but I pretended as if I'm still sleeping. So he cried and he cried and he cried for almost 2, 2.5 hours. And because he was making his dua in Gujarati, so I was understanding, and he was saying that, you know, praying for us, praying for the ummah, praying for Allah Ta'ala must open the doors for people of learning to come into South Africa, and the mashayikh and the jamaat work to spread here, and the ummah at large. And I don't know what, anything you can think of, he was begging and asking Allah Ta'ala. And in that dua, he was making a lot of dua. In that, ya Allah, this youngster who is with me, accept him also for this work and all. So I used to just have making Ameen. But in any case, after he finished, then he saw me. He said, have you... you got up? I said, yes, alhamdulillah. He said, well, first go make wuzu, make your 2 rakat namaz, or 4 rakat namaz. And that, so that was the starting point. So thereafter, he began. He said, now it was still holidays. So he said, let's go. So from Amzinto, we came to Durban. Then sometimes we used to catch the bus, sometimes the taxi, whatever. It's a long story. But in any case, from here, thereafter, we went on a trip. So with him, from here to Pietermaritzburg. There we went and visited 2 or 3 ulama that were there. They all asked us, that, what are you going to do? They asked him, are you Maulana? I said, no. They're asking me, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I'm going, I'm with him, I'm learning. Mm-hmm. So they thought, well, these are people are just wasting their time. In any case, from there we went. He was teaching me the 6 points. We reached Escort. Mm-hmm. When we reached Escort, so they asked me to give the bayan on the 6 points. I told him, Ajisab, I don't even know what the 6 points are properly, and I have never given bayan in my life. I'm only a 17-year-old. What can I give? So, no, you must just read Durud Sharif, stand up and start. So that was my first bayan. I think the 6 points took me about 6 minutes. And if you have to listen to that bayan, it will make you laugh. But in any case, after the third point, then I ask him, Ajisab, what's the fourth one? Then I tell the audience what's the fourth one. Then I ask him, what's the fifth one? Then he tells me, and I tell them what's the fifth one. So that was the kind of my first bayan. But someday after that, we went to Ladysmith, then we came to Johannesburg. We visited a few people there. Like that, slowly, slowly, we covered the country. Coming back to Durban, going to his hometown and taking me again. Then he insisted, he said that you should go for studies and become an alim. I said, well, speak to my father. And so he spoke to my late father, and he spoke to my grandfather, and that was the way that I landed or ended up in 1963, April, in Darul Uloom Deoband.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you farigh and qualified, Hazrat Sahab?
There we spent 7 years. And alhamdulillah, learned a little and returned. Well, it was 21 days at that time on the ship, and it was not easy. And the base in Darul Uloom at that time, those who have studied there, Maulana Abbas Jinnah and those people of that era, so they know how tough it was, the toilets, the open air toilets there, the mosquitoes and the bugs and the fleas in India. And there wasn't this type of facility. So we've, at that time in 1963, about 55 of us left from South Africa. And of the 55, in the final year, we were about 7 that were left there in Darul Uloom Deoband. A few went to some other institutions, and the others returned because of sickness, illness, and the difficulties that one has to face, had to face in those days there.
Mm-hmm. Maulana, obviously coming back or looking at your ulama that or your ustad at that time in Deoband, is there any alim that you could think about that had made an outstanding contribution to your studies while you were at madrasa?
Well, I will say that I think every alim at that time, because they were in senior in age and they were of that group that was outstanding and brilliant in every field that you can think of. Whether it was Hadith Sharif, whether it was Tafsir, whether it was philosophy, whether it was anything else. Those were the top, like Hazrat Maulana Allama Ibrahim Balyawi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Qari Tayyab Rahmatullah Ali. He used to say, if I have any kind of a problem with anything, I just go to him and he just solves the problem within a few seconds or minutes. Like that, so the Shaykhul Hadith at that time, of course, he started off with all good ulama and asatiza. And Shaykhul Hadith at that time, that is the last year, was Shaykh Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Ali. And he was like one, the last of that chain of great Shaykh, the Mashayikh that we had with regards to Bukhari Sharif teaching in Darul Uloom Deoband. Of course, after that, we had many, but he was like one of those. He was 90 years of age. Believe me, he was not obliged to even teach in the morning, evening, afternoon, or anything like that, because he was in our country, we'll say now he's in a pension age.
Gee.
But at that age of 90, he used to sit and put his hand on the side of his head, and with his folded legs, when he's sitting on that platform, 313 students we were. It was like the Tadad of Badr, the number of Badr, but 313 students. And he used to teach 3 hours in that one sitting without any movement. We used to move backwards and forwards and change our sitting positions 3 hours in the morning. And then in the winter months, at night again, he used to teach from 8 o'clock till midnight. Now, people won't believe these things today. From 8 o'clock till midnight, that's 4 hours solid, sitting in one position, teaching Bukhari Sharif at the age of 90. When we used to bring him in a wheelchair, we used to think that what is he going to teach today? You know, he's so old. But when he sits and he speaks, it's like crystal clear voice, and as if a young person is speaking. At the end of that 4 hours, when it's just 2 or 3 minutes left, then he used to say, Walisab Abtume Tagya. Allah Allah Khair Sallallahu. Meaning I'm tired. So sitting there right next to him with our kitab, then he says, hey, Hazrat, now it is already midnight. He said, Acha, to dua kar lo. That means he used to tire also exactly. He had that ruhani and spiritual taqat. One day he mentioned, he said, there was one ayat of the Quran Sharif. Of course, his memory was 4 hours to speak without any references in front of him and just going on. It was something that I don't think anybody will see in a hurry in the world now. But when it came to one ayat of the Quran Sharif, only on one occasion, then he just got a little bit of tashabu and he said, koi hafiji hai ke nahi hai? And then he corrected it himself. And then he said, just to encourage you, not to brag about it and not out of pride, but just to give you some encouragement. He said, maine 28 din mein Quran Sharif hifz kar liya tha. He said, I memorized the Quran Sharif in 28 days. His father used to perform Taraweeh somewhere. He passed away first of Ramadan. So he used to by heart the Quran, one para in the morning, and then recite it at night. And he said, I already knew too. So 28 days time I memorized the Quran Sharif. Or Surah Yusuf, maine 20 minute mein yaad kar li thi. Say Surah Yusuf, I memorized in 20 minutes. I said, Hazrat, it takes us more than 30 minutes to read it looking inside. So that was the kind of personality we had for Bukhari Sharif. And it is their du'as and their muhabbat. And I used to many, many times I had the opportunity of eating with him just because he had one unique quality that on Thursdays he used to invite the other senior asatiza of the institution and then they used to give their experiences and if there was anything that had to be discussed with regards to the education and all that. So I used to be there. Just gravy, he dips his bread, a few pieces he puts in his mouth, and with that he was doing that 4 hours teaching and 3 hours teaching. One day I just told him, I said, well, today you don't look too well, because we wanted off, we were getting tired. So I said, the madrasa does not even oblige you to teach that much or anything like that, and you are supposed to be retired. So these words that he used, he said, Maulvi Sahab, hum to dunya ke kutte hai, tankha lekar padhate hai. That means this is the kind of this thing he had, taqwa, piety, that he says that we are basically taking the salary because of the need. But his opinion was of himself that all this I am doing is dunya, whereas he was just serving the deen with such ikhlas and such sincerity. So it is the sohbat and the company of these people that produced those ulama at that time that are serving in the world.